live from the NBC News radio broadcasting studios of KCAA, 1050 AM, 102.3 FM, and 106.5 FM, located in beautiful, sunny California. Thanks for tuning into the Water Zone today. I'm Rob Starr, and off today is Mr. Chris Davies. He's fortunately or unfortunately, depending how you look at it, is over in Germany. And hopefully he's working and not taking advantage of all the drinking beers and all the things they do over there. But anyway, we have a special guest host today who's truly an A-lister in the industry. And I'd like to introduce this person who is able, accessible, adaptable, admirable, agreeable, amazing, amenable, analytical, approachable, appreciative, artistic, authentic, and just downright awesome. He's laughing. I got to do this. Mr. Orion Goh.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
Good. And just for the audience, Orion is the senior product manager for the Toro Company for the residential commercial products, and we do welcome him today. And it's great to have him here. He's a fun guy to work with. And his beautiful children and wife are watching on the internet, so you can wave again and say hi to them.
Hey, guys.
You can call them by their names.
Sure. Keon, Nora, so that's my son and daughter, and of course my lovely wife, Sheila, who are coming up on our 7th anniversary.
All right.
Actually, it's on St. Patrick's Day, so it's a day I can never forget. For two reasons, right? But it's a friendly little reminder, a nice marker on the calendar.
So did you buy her something nice yet?
Oh, well, I can't tell you because we're live on the radio. So I have, but I couldn't possibly tell you what it was because I'd give away the surprise.
You can whisper to me right here in the microphone. You know, I've been married 34 years, and it's like I don't know what to buy my wife anymore because she has everything she needs. And when you go buy stuff for them, they like it and they say thank you, but I think I'm going to return it and get something else. It's just never works for, at least for me that way.
Well, but I'm sure as a seasoned husband and a seasoned wife, it's not so much what the thing is, it's the intent behind the thing, right?
That's what I say, but it doesn't always work that way.
Fair enough.
You know, it's like getting intimate, and my wife says to me, she says, hasn't our love grown beyond that stage? And I go, no. But that's what happens. So anyway, we're glad to have you here tonight.
Thanks.
And we're going to bring somebody who we have all the time on our show, and she is a noted person throughout the water world in California, and the best person to get news about water in California, the maven of Maven's Notebook, Ms. Chris Austin. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing
fine.
Hey,
Chris.
Hey, Rob, I got to remind you, this is a family show, okay? So, like, at least my segment is G-rated.
I didn't say anything bad. I just said intimate. I didn't get into...
Oh, my word.
Is that a bad word? I don't know. I mean, the FCC has rules of things I can't say, and I don't say any of those things. So I try to keep it clean, you know, it's best I can. What can I say? Glad I have a day job, I suppose. Or maybe not after that, so who knows? Who knows? So how's things in the water business this week?
Oh, boy, we are just having some fun, aren't we?
Absolutely.
lot of rain. I'll tell you, I was reading earlier today, and I'm a Southern California native, as many of us are, and I honestly can't remember. I'm sure there has been, but I can't remember this, not so much this level of rain, but certainly in the aggregate, this many days of rain in a concentrated period. It just seems phenomenal right now.
Apparently it's setting some records. Mm. But, you know, I do remember back, I don't know, it probably was like 10 years ago when I was really into my garden. I did a winter garden, and I remember that I spent most of that winter siphoning out water from the garden, which means that I have to suck it up into a hose, get dirt in the back of my mouth.
Oh, gosh.
You know, to get the water, to get the standing water out of the garden.
Right.
And after that, I said, that's it. I'm not doing a winter garden anymore. Because, of course, you know, when I don't do it, then it's a nice, mild winter, and we could have grown all kinds of stuff. So I did not grow a winter garden. I am not responsible for this.
Hey, but, Chris? They sell pumps.
well, my garden isn't that big.
Do it yourselfer.
Okay.
But anyways, yeah, it's been a really healthily wet year, and the snowpack's looking great, and everybody is happy, and as long, I mean, probably I think the one thing that could come along that could really kill it all is if we get a really warm storm that comes in and rains on the snowpack and melts a whole bunch of it, because then there's like downstream flooding like mad. Yeah. And crossing our fingers that doesn't happen. The storm that we all had here yesterday really didn't reach that far up the valley. You know, we got dumped on rain like you wouldn't believe. But, you know, I drove over the hill to Bakersfield because I was at the Kern County Water Summit today. And it was really raining when I left here. And by the time I got over to the other side of the hill, it was dry. And there really wasn't much over there. So hopefully, you know, we get to keep our big snowpack, fingers crossed, and it's going to be a good water year.
It's starting to drizzle when Orion and I pulled up this afternoon here at the station.
Yeah.
And the skies are really dark.
Right.
Yeah, so. I saw that when I came back today. And, yeah, there's more storms in the forecast, but they sort of seem to be more southerly located and not really up north. So that's actually good in terms of water supply.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard our president is putting pressure on the California water plan.
Well, yeah, you know, they put up this, this policy. It was in a memo probably, I think, a year or two ago that really set limits on how long the federal government can take to make decisions on things. And they're actually quite short. And, they're really pushing to get things done. And without going through the usual channels. There's a lot of concern. And, you know, we'll just have to see how this all plays out. Because I'm not sure it's all legal. But
well, you know, it took them 17 years to do that little process down in towards San Diego when they were doing the water. You know what I'm talking about? Down in Oceanside?
Oh, you mean the desalination plant?
17 years. Just to get that thing from we're talking about it till they got it built and operating. 17 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, it definitely is. And 17 years is long, but I also think, you know, in terms of really planning out water projects and being smart, they do take a bit of time.
Yep.
17 is long, but a decade is not unheard of and really is not unreasonable depending on what the project is and what you're trying to do and how big of a change that you're trying to make.
And you never get 100% of the people agreeing on it anyway.
No, you never do. But, you know, we have to keep in mind, you know, I know sometimes the environmental movement is, kind of considered an obstructionist, I guess. And there are some instances where, yes, I would have to agree. But, you know, when you look back at some of the things that have happened, like, you know, in the forest, when we thought we knew better, we saw the forest as, you know, when the downed trees and all this stuff as being something that had to be removed. And so we went and we picked our forest clean. And then, what do you know, we figured out, oh, gosh, you know, those decaying wood trees that fall down naturally provide habitat and nutrients to the forest floor and places for fish to hide. And so we have actually spent, decades putting wood back on the forest floor because, and these are the kind of things that, you know, that need to be looked at and need to be considered. And the environmentalists have a role in making sure that people consider things like that.
Because, well, absolutely. I think we need to hear from a lot of people on those things. I don't think any of those things should be stopped. I just, for me, I just think it takes forever and ever and ever. And then after all that goes by, you still have people complaining about stuff. So
yeah, and you can't please everybody. That's
nope.
For sure. But hey, today, this afternoon, I thought there was a very interesting development. Congressman Kevin McCarthy from the Bakersfield area has proposed, there's this high-speed rail money that's sort of come into question
right.
about whether the feds want to really give it to us. So he has proposed legislation to reroute high-speed rail money to California water infrastructure, with a portion going to these new dams that we've been trying to build. And, you know, which is really fascinating to me because, I'll be honest, I don't take a position on water stuff, but this high-speed rail thing, I just like shaking my head at. I didn't vote for it. I didn't get it.
Well, the administration wants to take back, they want to get back $2 billion.
Right. So he's proposing that instead of, you know, having that money just go back, that they take that money and reinvest it in California and specifically in water infrastructure projects.
That's great. That's what they should do.
Yeah, it's important. I was reading earlier today, and they were talking about dams in particular and around the aging infrastructure of dams, and how this season being a good example, how we're seeing, you know, different patterns in weather and what that means for not only existing infrastructure but future infrastructure. So I was also reading around the runoff, right? So we have all this rain, but we're having a ton of runoff. You know, something where 80 to 90% of it is running off into the ocean. Maybe that's where your oceanside, you know, desalination plant comes into play. But when you think about, you know, 90% of water running off into the ocean, that at least at this point we can't reclaim at any significant amount. I mean, there's some work to be done.
Yep. Yeah, there definitely is, and you know, I think in a way they've been sort of hammering water managers on this issue, but the reason why, at least in Southern California, that this exists is because they had some very deadly floods in the 30s, and so the Army Corps was given the, you know, who has the jurisdiction and the mandate to prevent flood deaths from flood, goes out and engineers the LA River and other rivers to be these cement channels that shunt everything off to the ocean,
right.
Which then meant that houses could develop all along these flood channels. And it's, you know, while I agree we need to do a better job with, you know, capturing stormwater, this is the system that was built decades ago, and it's not easily corrected. You know, you just can't sink water in to any vacant lot that you see. The geology has to be right. In some places, the water doesn't sink into the aquifer. It stagnates and becomes algae.
Sure.
If you put it in the right place, it'll sink right down in, and that's what you want. But, you know, we did a lot of building here in Southern California when we didn't know better. And some of these areas that might be prime rate for, you know, prime places for recharge might be covered with development right now, houses and who knows. And so they've been trying to go and map these places and protect them where they can. And out in your area, I think, you know, the water agencies have been really looking for this. The San Bernardino Valley Municipal Water District and the Santa Ana Water Protection, you know, SAPA.
Right.
I can't remember that. You know, but they're really actively working on this because they understand that the aquifer is important and they got to sink the water in. But you just can't sink it in just anywhere. And we're dealing with legacy building and legacy infrastructure that was built for a different purpose.
Right.
And now we need to repurpose this. And so, you know, the one thing that I would hope through all these newspaper media articles about how terrible it is that all this water is going to the ocean, is these people need now, I hope that it galvanizes the taxpaying public to agree to pay for infrastructure to fix this. And they did, in a sense, with Measure W in L.A. County. They have voted to tax themselves to do a better job of cleaning up their stormwater and sinking it in to groundwater. That's where they're headed. And, you know, but people do need to understand that, yes, we need to do this, but we're going to have to make some changes on the landscape, and those changes are going to cost money, and taxpayers need to be willing to put up that money.
Well, you also got the aging infrastructure of pipes for 100 years old that need to be replaced. The technology of the material that they used 100 years ago is not even close to what they could do today. But now you're talking about digging up the ground and the roads and all this other stuff, and that's going to cost a lot of money.
It costs money, and it means that people are inconvenienced because roads are torn up for months, a year at a time while they replace sections, and it costs money. But people need to understand that this infrastructure doesn't last forever.
I think,
and it takes investment and it takes work to maintain it.
Well, I think what you said with Representative McCarthy, I think that's a great idea. You know, I'm not a favorite guy of the train, and I try not to be political on this show, but you know, I think water is more important than anything in this state for lots of reasons. Since we're a major agricultural state and we have tons of people that live here, we certainly need to have availability of water. You know, I'd rather see the money spent on those things than to pay for a train that probably no one's going to ride, and it's not even high speed that they're dealing with, even though they said it was. And you know, we got to fix the infrastructure because we can't live without water. Water is life. Water is our life for everything.
And this first leg that they're building is just from, you know, nowhere to nowhere. I mean, there's no way that they're going to get any ridership out of that that's going to make a difference to building the rest of it. And if it isn't going from a major population center to another major population center, then what is the point?
I think, you know, when I first moved to California years and years ago, the big talk was having a train that would go from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I think the money would have been better spent to do something like that than what they're trying to do from San Francisco and try to go through all these little tiny, convoluted cities and things like that. And again, they're three times the budget of what they thought it was going to be. So you know what? They made a mistake. So cut the losses and move on to doing something we need to preserve life, which is water. Anyway, enough of that.
It'll be interesting to see where it all goes.
Yep. Hey, I heard the Bureau of Reclamation is launching a prize competition where they're seeking ideas to keep fish safe from water diversions and intakes.
Yeah, the Bureau of Reclamation has been doing this for a while. They actually offer up prize competitions to get ideas from people on how to solve problems that they have. There's been a variety of them, you know, including some things having to do with desalination and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can submit a white paper, you can get some funding to try and, you know, develop your project.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's cool. Yeah.
And it's open.
Yeah,
it's
probably
open.
The most interesting thing that's come out of it is that, you know, we have these dams that block rivers.
Right.
For salmon, they're trying to swim upstream, and then there's a dam like Shasta or Oroville or whatever. So, and I'm not kidding here. There is a group, I think they're out of Oregon or Washington, that has come up with a cannon to shoot the salmon over the dam.
No such thing as a bad idea. But
they actually won an award, I believe, to continue to develop this. The problem that they have is sorting the fish into the right size cannon to shoot them over the dam. But can you imagine what that must be like for the salmon?
Well, they have the thing on cable TV. I don't know, Chris, if you've ever seen it or maybe Orion's seen it. It's called Pumpkin Shucking.
No, what is
where
that?
They have these catapult systems, and they put pumpkins in, and they launch them, and they see who can shoot the farthest.
There you go.
With the pumpkin. So maybe they can do the same thing with the salmon.
Gosh.
Yeah. You know, trying to get the salmon over these high dams without building salmon ladders, you know, fish ladders, that's been something that, you know, people have tried to figure out for a while now. It's really difficult. And, you know, it's like almost it's easier to get them over the top of the dam. The harder thing is, you know, the salmon go up then to these higher rivers and they spawn. So how do you get the fish that have spawned that are starting their migration.
Ray, remember, this is a family program, you told me. We don't talk about stuff like that, Chris.
I did not say the fish were
I didn't either. So
I used the word spawn.
Just reminding you, and I didn't say anything except being intimate. That was it. So we're equal now.
Well done.
But, you know, you have all these baby fish flowing down, and now you've got to get them, you got to collect them.
Yep.
Before they go into the main reservoir and become uncatchable and get them over the other side. And that's the real big trick. I don't see how they're going to get this to work.
And then the bears are going to be unhappy because they can't go in the stream and grab the salmon, right?
Well, you know, this is one of the things they're saying. With climate change and our warming temperatures, the rivers below the dam are really becoming inhospitable to these salmon spawning right there in the stream.
Right.
So getting them up above where they can might actually survive, that's sort of the intent or the goal, but yeah. It's very difficult to do, and it results in things like salmon cannons and other ideas.
Unbelievable. Well, at least they're thinking outside the box, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah, definitely outside the box.
Well, hey, Chris, we appreciate we're coming up upon our commercial time here, and we love having you on every single week. You are fantastic. Lots of kudos. And I sent you an email the other day. I hope you got that regarding the Rice Commission. Did you get that?
Gosh, I better go take a look.
Oh, okay. I know you know some people on it. We want to talk about that. I think that would be a great topic. But anyway.
Check that and send it to me again.
I will do that.
I don't remember getting it.
Well, thanks for joining us today on The Water Zone, as you always do. We do appreciate getting the best of water news from you. And I think McCarthy is also checking your list out. So to our listeners, anybody who wants to go to mavensnotebook.com, please do so for the latest in California water. And if you want to become a sponsor to that or donate something to her, we appreciate that. We use her. She is our go-to expert. So, Chris, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
Nice talking to you, Chris.
Okay, take care, guys.
All right. So stay tuned. We're going to be back in just a few minutes. We're just going to go to our commercial break, and we'll be back with our special guest.
KCAA Loma Linda, 1050 AM, K292 FQ Riverside, and K293 CF Moreno Valley.
If you knew there was a pipe cement that works better than the one you're currently using, is better for you and the environment, and costs the same or less, would you buy it? Oh, no-brainer, right? Weldon, the trusted leader in solvent cements for over 60 years, is pleased to introduce a new line of solvent cements that does all that. Introducing the Eco Series line of solvent cements for PVC piping systems. Not only does it work great and set fast, it also has 30% lower solvent emissions and less smelly fumes, a better workplace environment when you're installing pipes. But don't just take our word for it. Eco Series products are the only solvent cements that are Green Seal certified for environmental innovation for effective performance, improved working conditions, and for use with potable water. Now available in a medium-bodied, fast-setting blue formula, 905 Eco, and a regular-bodied, fast-setting clear formula, 900 Eco. Pick up a can today from your local distributor and see, smell, and feel the difference, just like Joe Sweat, president of Sunrise Irrigation, did. He said, after using Weldon's 905 Eco, we immediately noticed the application was smooth and there was noticeably less odor than other blue solvent cements on the market. The guys love it. To learn more about Eco Solvent Cements from Weldon, visit the website at www.weldon.com or call the technical service hotline at 877-477-8327. That's 877-477-8327.
Time to take a water break and talk some water. Irrigation. Such a refreshing topic. As more and more markets face water restrictions, your customers may be hungry, or should I say thirsty, for water-saving products. For new installations, add options like drip irrigation, controllers that respond to weather data, pressure regulating heads, or heads with check valves. They all provide easy ways to differentiate your bids and win more jobs. Or for an extra stream of revenue, offer existing customers upgrades like high efficiency nozzles, rotary nozzles, or Wi-Fi based controllers. Because when you help your customers save water, you make a world of difference for the earth and your bottom line at the same time. We'll drink to that.
Welcome back to the second half of the Water Zone Show. I'm here with Rob Starr, along with our special guest, Mr. Orion Goh. And as I said, he's the A-list, right? You know, I said all those A things.
I recognize that they're all A things. They're all very flattering. I'm just trying to kind of wave the flag now and hold all that up.
I'll send you an invoice in the morning for that. But no, I did mean all of that, truthfully. You know that. So we appreciate you sitting in for Chris. And as again, you have a standing invitation that even when Chris is here, you can come in and join us. You could call in on the phone. We may not take your call, but you could try to call in and say, no, we'll take your call.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a fantastic show. I mean, as not only as somebody that works in the industry, but certainly as a California native, I think the show is important, and it's important to get the latest information and news and just kind of understand how important water is in all of our lives. So thanks for doing what you're doing.
You're welcome. And, you know, the show's expanded all over the country and also goes overseas. So we're very happy about that. But we have a special guest named Joyce Warren, and she is the Water Resources Manager for the city of Frisco, Texas. And they're a pretty good outfit, and she's a fabulous woman. So, Joyce, welcome to the Water Zone.
Thank you, Rob.
Glad to have you on. How's the weather out there?
Oh, it's a beautiful evening. I tell you, we just came off 20-degree evenings for the past few nights with hard freezes, but I think spring is finally on the way.
Yeah, well, we got to set our clocks different this weekend.
Yeah, Sunday.
Out here, so
that's right.
We're excited. So anyway, can you tell our listeners a little brief history about you and how you got into the water business of all, you know, how does that happen? Because I don't know a lot of people all of a sudden wake up and say, I'm going to be in the water business.
Absolutely. Well, with any career, I've been in public relations and marketing for about 20 years now and employed with the city of Frisco for about 12 years. Now, although I didn't start my career in Frisco in water conservation, about 7 years ago, the city hired for a water resources manager. And knowing my passion for water conservation and the protection of our watershed, of course I applied for the position. And I tell you, it has been the perfect fit. It couples my passion for water with many years of experience that I've had in public relations.
And that's an important factor, because communicating to the public is not the easiest thing, and trying to convince them to do things is not a simple task as well. City of Frisco, I know I've been there, but for our listeners, can you tell us about their size, residents, commercial, what do you have for customers, and you know how you handle all your water?
Absolutely. Well, we're located about 25 miles north of Dallas. And back in 2017, the U.S. Census population named Frisco the fastest growing city in the United States. And then last year, Money Magazine deemed us one of the greatest places to live in the U.S. Our hometown has grown from about population 33,000 in the year 2000. Fast forward to 2019, we have a little over 185,000 people living in Frisco. Oh. And approximately 65% of water usage is residential, and the remainder is a combination between commercial businesses, apartments, schools, and municipal uses.
Oh. Well, that's a tremendous amount of growth. So I have to ask you, Joyce, where does the city of Frisco get the water? Is it groundwater? Is it imported? Where does that supply come from?
Right. Well, our water, we actually receive treated water from the North Texas Municipal Water District. There are five surface water sources in the reservoir system that provide our potable water. Our primary water source stems from Lavande Lake, and our water district has the water supply rights that's granted through permits by the state of Texas for the use of the stored water. And our water system here in Frisco, we have a superior rating with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, and it exceeds all state and federal drinking water standards.
Okay. So how do you help kind of manage the demand side, I guess, of that water. I was on your website a little bit earlier today, and I noted that you do have some water ordinances in place. And if I read it correctly, I think those are kind of enforced and held up year-round. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. So the ordinance that we have is a water management plan, and we tied best management practices for the long-term protection of our water supply into our ordinance. With 70% of water waste in Frisco, we've researched and found that that is due to inefficient irrigation practices. So in our respect, year-round enforcement is a key element in our ordinance, and it really helps us to reduce the waste of water here in Frisco.
Well, the one thing, if I can just jump in here, the one thing that I think you have versus California, which I like, is licensed irrigators. Mm. And I think that's an important factor here.
You know, well, it's one of those things where, you know, well, I'll speak from my perspective. I love my lawn, right? I love my yard, and I would guess, you know, you mentioned that your population is 190,000, I think you said, something in that neighborhood. So that's a lot of yards, I'd imagine, and that's a lot of water. How do you feel that your customers have responded? Have you found that it's been kind of maybe a better question. How long have these ordinances been in place? And how did you feel they've kind of gone over with your customers? Was it a bit of a rough start? Did you feel that people, you know, adopted them easily? Kind of how has that journey been?
Right. Well, the state of Texas requires that we file every 5 years an updated water management plan. And in that water management plan, there's two parts. It's your water efficiency portion for when you're not in drought, and then there's also the drought portion. And the best management practices that we included, we actually added those back in 2015 when we were coming out of many years of drought. And our residents have really responded. We have a team of six licensed irrigation experts and a combination of irrigation inspectors. And we also have several part-time positions for water patrol and then water education positions in our water resources team. And in regards to just helping to reduce that waste of water, I will tell you that in the year 2000, when Frisco had roughly 33,000 population, our GPCD, which is the gallons used per capita daily per person, was up to 299. Fast forward to 2018, and our population, you know, is rapidly approaching, you know, over 185,000. Our GPCD was 164.
Wow.
So with the enforcement, as well as with our robust conservation programs, we've been able to really make a difference, with education being the key to helping our residents get on board with understanding what water conservation is and the importance of it.
Well, you highlighted education is the key, and for listeners that may not know this, the EPA recognized that. So last year in 2018, the city of Frisco and Joyce and her team were recognized with an EPA WaterSense Award for excellence in outreach and communication. So congratulations to you and your team.
Thank you.
Are there any best practices that you can maybe share with our listeners around that excellence in outreach and communications that you feel are, you know, kind of staples of what you've done in the program and communicating the program?
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to say that last year was extra special for us because we also celebrated our 10-year anniversary as a WaterSense partner. And then to be recognized with this award, it just really made it you know, so true to our programs here in Frisco. There were three key components in helping us to achieve this award. One was for our programs that we ran during the annual Fix-A-Leak Week, then also our participation in the sprinkler system spruce-ups and brand awareness, really bringing the EPA WaterSense label to Frisco and helping it to be a recognized brand in our city. So some of the festivities for Fix-A-Leak Week, although there were many, I'll just highlight a few, but we started the week out with a proclamation proclaiming Fix-A-Leak Week in Frisco, and then we moved our focus to leak detection indoors, where we handed out over 1,600 toilet leak detection tablets to help find those leaks and educate residents to fix those. We push those out in all of our public buildings in Frisco. We also had the opportunity to put information on all of the video screens in our various city departments, and we've reached about 2,000 people daily that come in and out of those buildings throughout the week. We also hosted a health fair at our local senior center for our senior citizens. And last but not least, on the Fix a Leak, we also held a Fix a Leak workshop in partnership with our licensed plumbers here with the city. And we actually had a hands-on workshop where the plumbers built some displays, and the residents actually had to work on sinks and showers and toilets and learn how to fix simple leaks so that they could transcend that to their bathrooms and kitchens at home.
Very nice.
I think those kind of activities are key. Yeah, the whole education and public outreach in water for most of the agencies across the country have been phenomenal. You guys have done a super job. I was at the event when you got your award, and we applauded you very loudly, so you know that. But, I've dealt with – the first time I was at your facility was 14 years ago I call it WIBIX, which is smart weather-based controllers, for the audience who didn't understand that acronym. That's just what everybody calls them in our industry, WIBIX. But I was there at the forefront working with your city and doing things with rebate programs and things, and it was incredible. I mean, you guys really took the challenge head on, and you made certain commitments, and you did excellent. It was just wonderful. Now, you've created and managed various water resources programs and activities, and some of these things are catchy with the names and things of that sort, but I broke some down, and maybe you can talk about them a little bit. One's called Weekly Watering Advice.
Yes, absolutely. So each week, our staff calculates a weekly watering recommendation that's based on Frisco's own weather station. We have a Campbell Scientific weather station that we purchased and installed here in the city of Frisco way back in 2008. And we also have four automatic rain gauges, one in each quadrant of the city. So data such as daily temperature, precipitation, wind speed, evapotranspiration, and other factors are used to determine just how much water might need to be applied to your landscape. Of course, taking into consideration our local soil types and the season of the year. So we have water customers that voluntarily subscribe to receive the weekly watering recommendations, and we push this out in various forms. One that's very successful is our WaterWise e-newsletter. We currently have over 28,000 voluntary subscribers to this newsletter, and it's really a neat newsletter because not only does it have this watering recommendation, but it also has tips on how to save water, use water efficiently, and also has information about upcoming workshops and programs. And a few months ago, we actually introduced the ability to receive the watering recommendations through text messages. And I will tell you, in just a couple months, we already have 400 water customers that are utilizing this service.
Wow. That's amazing. You also do free sprinkler system checkups, and I guess you use your staff to go do that, correct?
Yes, we do. As I mentioned, we have six licensed irrigation experts that are on staff, and with our growing population, we realized that it was necessary to establish a water conservation program that dealt directly with these irrigation systems. 70% of water waste in Frisco is due to inefficient irrigation practices, and we created this free sprinkler system checkup program to address just that. So during a checkup, a licensed irrigator will walk the system with a homeowner, and they'll check the system for inefficiencies. They look for misaligned or broken sprinkler heads, bad head-to-head coverage. They want to make sure everything is, you know, the arcs are functioning properly, and they also look for leaks in the system. They make scheduling adjustments to the controller that's based on Frisco's watering schedule, and they also set that controller to run to the cycle and soak method. 2018 was an unprecedented year for us. Our six licensed irrigators performed 5,557 checkups for residents here in the city. Wow. And I will tell you that an average savings for a homeowner is about 65% of their outdoor water usage when they have one of these checkups.
Wow. So that's tremendous. And I think your team and your department and the city of Frisco should be commended for making that investment, right? To have six licensed irrigators on staff full time to do these types of check is quite the accomplishment. Having said that, 5,557 checkups is a big number. But is there, you have 185,000 citizens living in the city. So do you find that, you know, neighbors talk to one another? Is there word of mouth, almost like this train the trainer? Or do you just kind of capture those that you can and fix what you can? How do you see that? How do you scale that, I guess, kind of at the user
right.
level?
And also,
well,
go ahead. I was just add on to him. Do you also try to get to the places like the big box stores or distributors and show your programs for them and have them help to teach? Or
right. Well, we actually expanded the program from just residential a couple years ago, and now we include commercial properties and, for us, key HOAs. Mm-hmm. Frisco is one of the communities that most of the neighborhoods here have homeowners associations, and so they have a lot of large scale common areas in there that recently we've been able to, you know, come out. Not only does it help us to kind of lay the groundwork for some water savings there on those large commercial areas, but it also helps us to establish relationships with those business owners. And I tell you, it's all about the relationships. It's the relationships and the education that we have with our residents as well as with our business owners here in Frisco.
Well, you have a lot of rebate programs going on in Frisco. Can you tell our audience, and because we have other people listening from other water managers all over the country listening, so you know, it's great to hear your successes, and maybe some of them can pick up on and get some tips of what you guys have done. So on rebates, what are you doing on that?
Right. One program that I want to mention on the rebates is our smart controller program. So in 2007, the city ordinance was updated to require the installation of smart irrigation technology, the controllers, in all of the new homes. And I tell you, by making this change, it really has saved money in the long run because using controllers that have this weather-based technology really help those residents to water only when needed.
Right.
So homes in Frisco that were built prior to 2007, the homeowners can actually apply for a $100 rebate, and it allows them to be able to upgrade that controller. And, you know, replacing those antiquated controllers and that antiquated technology with a more efficient water-saving controllers is really huge, especially with the number of homes that, you know, were built prior to 2007 in Frisco, and just trying to bring that group up to par with some of these new homes that already have that new technology established.
Yeah, we here in California passed a law that said that in 2012 everything had to be mandated, that any controller sold in California and installed has to be weather-based, but that's nobody's enforcing it,
right,
unfortunately.
Yeah. One thing that's really good, too, is that I mentioned earlier we have licensed irrigation inspectors on our team, and for the first time ever, we transferred that business from our development services group that does the home construction and, you know, the plumbing experts before the CO is issued. But we were able to transfer that business to our water resources group. So for the first time ever, we were ahead of the train. We've got our licensed irrigation inspectors putting eyes on those new systems, making sure they're installed appropriately. And then following that up, we have our licensed irrigators that are out there doing these free checkups, you know, for our water customers.
Wow, that's awesome. That's totally awesome. You came up with some other programs, and I'll just kind of mention them and you can talk about them. One's called the Captain's Roundup, and they call them Weed 'em and Reap. I like that. And then you had one, Let's Catch Up on Tomatoes. That's very creative. Can you tell us about those?
Yes, don't you just love those titles? So I will say that we didn't think of all of them. Some of those are brought to us by our speakers that that we work with. But I'll start with the Captain's Roundup. So I'm so glad that you asked about our community captain program. Basically, it's a grassroots network of volunteers who are passionate, like I am, about water conservation and the protection of our water resources. Our volunteers really help us reach beyond what we're doing with our WaterWise newsletter and information and go even deeper into the neighborhoods to raise better awareness in their communities. They repost our weekly watering recommendations and WaterWise newsletter to their community social media. They also help us get into the neighborhoods. They will schedule workshops and events in their neighborhood about watershed protection and water conservation, and that allows us to go in into those neighborhoods with our messaging. And our goal in Frisco is to have a community captain representative in every neighborhood in Frisco. We're a long way from that because every time you blink, there's a new neighborhood built in Frisco. But we are diligent, and we have our marching orders to continue.
Wow. That's incredible. Do you work with any universities in any programs or anything like that?
Right. We are currently, I guess, in the beginning stages of working with some local universities, just trying to have them help us with some of our surveys and demographic studies, and maybe take a look at our programs and see how we can better reach some of the demographics that are coming into our area that, you know, we maybe have not necessarily had to message to before. We've got people from all over the world, I'm sure, like other parts of the country, that are coming in, and we know what has worked so far in Frisco with our messaging, but we just want to make sure that we're on top of the latest and the greatest way to get that messaging and, you know, to educate those residents in the best way that they recognize in order to, you know, move our message of conservation forward.
So to that very point, the people who are moving to Frisco who maybe haven't been exposed to the message or some of the tips or the education that you and your team have worked so hard to establish and continue to work hard to, you know, kind of promote and expand. We have, you know, listeners from, as Rob mentioned, across the country on right now, homeowners and water managers and kind of irrigators alike. If there were, you know, two or three things, I guess, that you've learned in your time in the Water Resources Department leading that team, what are the two or three things that you would say a homeowner, you'd want a homeowner to kind of take away as maybe somebody who's new to the water conservation conversation, I guess, conversation conversation. Are there two
Absolutely.
Or three things that you'd say to the homeowner, you know, if you do these two or three things, you're on the right track to, you know, saving that 70% or some of that 70% that we've seen to be waste?
Right. So one thing is that clear and consistent messaging. Don't change your messaging. I mean, I know that sometimes messaging has to change a little if you're in drought or out of drought, but it's that clear, concise messaging. We are always preaching our watering recommendations. Sign up for the weekly WaterWise e-newsletter, get the text messages, go to our website, call our 24/7 watering line. That it's an informational line that they can call in and find out whether they need to water that week or whether they can leave that controller to off for that week, depending on the temperature and the rainfall. Another thing is take advantage of our programs. This free sprinkler system checkup is huge. When the irrigators go out there, they actually walk the system with the homeowner. We won't perform a checkup without the homeowner there walking with the irrigator throughout the system, because it's an opportunity for them to explain the system, to talk to them, to take some time and explain how to set the controller. So that brings me up to another point, though. Because we realized that we were getting a lot of the same questions from checkup to checkup to, you know, various homeowner, our licensed irrigators actually came up with one of our workshops that we host, and that's the irrigation station. It's the brainchild of our WaterWise irrigators, and it's only roughly 3 years old, and we're so proud to present this to our residents. Basically what it is it's a hands-on workshop where attendees can rotate through five different stations to learn about valves, heads and nozzles, leaks, controllers, and then troubleshooting your system. Mm-hmm. The irrigators took time. They produced their own model boards and set up the equipment so that the residents can actually see what different irrigation components look like. One thing that we're really proud of is they actually designed a controller board with functioning controllers. There's, I don't know, roughly 15 controllers up there that are the most common controllers here in the city of Frisco. So the irrigation station has captured attention, enthusiasm far beyond the city limits here in Frisco. Our irrigators have actually taken this show on the road and presented it at regional water district events. And actually this month they're going to be hosting a couple of the irrigation station workshops at the Collin County Master Gardeners annual garden show.
Well, I think, you know, the irrigation station highlights something and just reinforces something that you mentioned earlier with the Fix a Leak Week. So you had said during your Fix a Week leak, you had, you know, master plumbers come out and they had toilets and sinks and kind of these mock setups that homeowners could go around and kind of learn by doing. And it sounds like the irrigation station is set up in that very similar kind of construct. Go around these stations, you can see it, you can touch it, you can feel it. And it's this learn by doing. And there's lots of ways to learn, but I tend to be that kind of learner, right? If I can touch it and if I can feel it and I can kind of tinker with it a bit, it tends to stick a bit more. So congratulations on that. And taking it on the road, kind of taking it to where your customers are, right? Because, well, I'll use myself as an example, right? Married, you've got two young kids, and sometimes you just can't drive to wherever the thing is, right? But if they're coming to me and it's down the street, well, I can absolutely, yep, everybody pick up and go down the street. So that's tremendous.
Yeah, the HOAs I know is a big part. I don't know if you know Karen Guz. Do you know Karen?
I absolutely do, yes.
Yeah, she's a wonderful lady just like you. And we've done a lot of stuff with her in the past with HOAs and things. And that's really the way to reach them because, you know, most of the people don't know about irrigation. You know, they take care of they maintain their own property or they hire somebody. In California, there's a lot of, and I'm not trying to make fun of any of them. They're called mow and blows, they're not licensed irrigators. You know, they do things. Some of them do excellent work. Don't get me wrong. And they have a relative cost to them, which is good. But some of them just don't know. They just bring the mower, cut the grass, and walk away. And they don't really help you save or help the property owner save money or understand the intricacies of those things. And I think for what you're doing, I mean, that's obviously why you guys win the awards, because you're doing something that's totally different than most cities are doing. You're getting people involved. You're getting them to understand things. And when people understand things, then, and they learn about it, then, hey, now it seems easy. Right. It's like learning a new language or learning something new that, you know, before you trained them, this is going to be difficult. But once you show them, wow, this is easy. I didn't know this. Now I know what to go ask for. You go to the store and you ask for a valve. Well, what kind of valve do you want? Mm-hmm. Or what kind of nozzle do you want? Or what kind of spray body do you want? What kind of drip system do you want? What kind of controller do you want? All of those things are important. They're all different. And for, you know, the irrigation station thing sounds really, really cool. That's a great idea. We don't think about something like that.
Oh, it's immersion, isn't it? So, yeah it's fantastic. Well, as we're kind of wrapping up here, Joyce, with our listeners, can you share maybe your department's website or maybe Water Resources website, someplace right, where people can go and kind of see and learn more about some of these best practices and programs and in an effort to maybe
absolutely
emulate them or learn from them?
Yes, so go to friscotexas.gov/water. That's FRISCOTEXAS.gov/water.
Did you ever hear a commercial for dog things called Dynovite?
Yes.
You sound like the lady who does the commercial.
That's a compliment.
That's a compliment. I'm giving you a compliment.
It's my radio voice.
I love your radio voice. And you are a fantastic woman, and we do appreciate you coming on the show. And you'll be getting something UPS coming to you next week for a little thank you gift, and we do appreciate that. Joyce, congratulations again to your organization for doing an outstanding job and for what you're doing as the manager of that. And all I can say is, wow, I'm very impressed.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Joyce.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. To all our listeners, we'll be back next week. And then remember, the most important thing you got to do is think blue. Good night, everybody.
KCAA Loma Linda, 1050 AM, 106.5 FM, and now 102.3.